when Trump becomes president, my first reaction was freaked out.
Trump winning the election woke up in me a newfound activism.
I felt I needed to do something.
I feel right now that the world is not being heard of the woman's voice, and I don't want to go backwards.
I think the election was a huge wake-up call for many of us, especially as women.
I was compelled to attend the march in Washington on the 21st. It's mostly for solidarity.
Right for everyone to be who they are and to live the life they want to live. I think it is called upon all of us to move forward to hold that standard.
His attitude towards women is appalling, and he doesn't see that we are an essential part of the labor force.
And I felt like I needed to just get off my couch and do something.
Each one of us can make a difference, and it's time for each one of us to stand up and speak.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, Conversations with Sima, out of WESU in Middletown, Connecticut. Today on Sprouts, we will hear some of the many disparate and beautiful voices of people attending women's marches all over the country on January 21st, 2017. To us, every marcher has a voice. Every voice tells a story.
Hi, my name is Teresa Shook, and I live in Hana, Maui. I'm a retired attorney, mother of two sons, and grandmother of four. I am the woman whose Facebook post went viral to start the Women's March on Washington on January 21st. My feelings about my post going viral really inspired me that each one of us can make a difference, and it's time for each one of us to stand up and speak loudly and be advocates for each other. It's time. In the next 4 years, everyone is going to have to be vigilant, and we are also going to have to start looking out for each other. It really woke up in me a passion to care about women's rights. I don't want my granddaughters to grow up in a world of misogynistic men, and I want them to have the same access to leadership roles in government and business. And I'm going to start making my voice heard in organizations that train women to be leaders. Trump winning the election woke up in me a newfound activism that I had lost. And now I'm going to speak up, and I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I think locally we need to work with our young people, and we need to work with organizations that train young people to be leaders and to be ethical leaders. Also, we need to work locally to protect women and the vulnerable. I'm worried in the next 4 years that we'll lose ground. And so I want to be vigilant, and I'm going to make sure that we don't lose that ground by standing up and speaking to my representatives to make sure they speak for me in Congress. I think the national team is doing a wonderful job of moving it forward on a national level. And then we also have a team working on a global level. And personally, I do believe that if the world is going to change, women are going to change it. And so I think those efforts to do it nationally and globally and locally, and that women are involved in doing that, is what's going to help change the face of the world.
My name is Morgan Andalus, and I live in Maui, Kihei. I'm going to the march in Washington with some friends, a bunch of people from Maui, and some of my friends from college. Yeah, I decided to go to the march because I was feeling helpless and frustrated, really actually depressed after the results of the election. And I felt like I needed to just get off my couch and do something. And this popped up in my feed right at the point of vulnerability crisis. And I seized it, and I'm really excited. I haven't recently really been politically very involved. I think it's the side effect of midlife and parenting, and life sucks you in, but I really felt like I had to do something, and this opportunity just happened to be there when I needed it. But I would have found something else if this hadn't been the first thing that popped up, and I guarantee it's not going to be the last thing that I do over the next 4 years. So I feel like I'm personally impacted by some of the policies that he's discussed, first of all, as a woman and as the mother of two children who are half Mexican. I lived in Mexico for 3 years, and a lot of my family lives in Mexico still. I feel like I couldn't sit around and listen to it anymore. I had to get out and do something, and I still feel it's a palpable sense of it's bordering on panic, which is not, it's not a feeling that I'm used to, and I guess I've been really lucky my whole life that I haven't felt so desperately needing to get my voice out there. There are a lot of people like me who have really benefited from the policies under the Obama administration. And we're people who, in our lives up until this point, you know, there are attacks on Planned Parenthood, attacks on abortion rights, and other issues directly related. But I think up until this point, we've had the luxury of having other people sort of speak for us. And I'm really recognizing that I have to get out there and speak for myself now, and also for my daughters.
My name is Ellen Brownlee. I'm 73 years old, and I live in Gilbert, Arizona. I am going to the Women's March in Washington, mainly because it was brought to my attention by my daughter-in-law from San Francisco, and she got in touch with me, and she said, "Mom, I'm going to march somewhere." She said, "But wouldn't it be wonderful if the two of us could do this together?" And I said, "You betcha," and I went right out and booked a hotel for us and booked our plane reservations. I attended a meeting of people from the Phoenix area who are going to be going to Washington, and had a wonderful moment of reflecting on how it felt when I felt very strongly about the Vietnam War and different other issues. I've worked on campaigns for Gabby Giffords, and I felt I needed to do something. And I felt this would be the beginning of what I need to do to be involved, make myself active, and keep abreast of everything that's going on, mm-hmm. and do something positive to help the situation in the coming days.
I'm Weston Kleinert. I am an environmental engineer for a renewable fuel company, and I graduated from Iowa State in 2014. The major reason that I was compelled to attend the march in Washington on the 21st is mostly for solidarity among women in the United States, because obviously there's been a lot of very divisive, denigrating rhetoric. There's also been some attempts to undermine women's rights. And I think that just being there the day after the inauguration will send some sort of signal to both administrations or people, groups of people who don't believe that these issues are important, but probably more importantly to women and other minorities, which I think that's the more important reason, is really to just show solidarity with women who might feel marginalized. There has been an attack, I think that's probably the right word to use, on the ability for women to choose their own reproductive paths. So I mean, that's one that is very consistent. And then all of the other issues that may come off of that, whether it's wage discrimination or a myriad of other issues, that kind of all streams, I think. I think these issues, because of the fact that I am gay, I have a different viewpoint on how taking rights away from or discriminating against a certain group of people, how that actually affects people and then inevitably society. So that's, you know, I have this gift, you know, that I have an extra amount of compassion that maybe on average other white straight males may not have. I don't think there is enough discussion about the march, particularly and more generally, women's rights.
My name is Laura Jang Mellencamp, and I'm traveling from Chicago, Illinois, to the march. And I'm not marching in an angry voice, but a conscious, respectful voice for all women, the integrity of all beings. I feel right now that the world is not being heard of the woman's voice, and I don't want to go backwards. My mother's legacy, my grandparents, my grandmothers, I want to be able to walk in respect for all women. And my daughter. My daughter is 15, and she is Asian. She is brown skin, and I want her to be seen in the world for who she is, a beautiful, magnificent woman.
My name is Barbara DeGangi. I'm a social worker and activist from New York. I am being trained as a marshal for the Women's March. And I think the election was a huge wake-up call for many of us, especially as women. And I see us going through the next 4 years really resisting anything that's not aligned with our values and leveraging social media. I think this march will be an entry point for activism for many, many people. And I heard that call in Obama's farewell speech as well. I think locally on the ground, people, especially women, need to start considering running and leading in politics and getting involved in their communities and as well as advocating for women and for each other. I think that the election was a wake-up call for us to get to work and that there's a lot more that needs to be done as far as women's rights. I think that my personal call to action right now is to get to work and execute even more so on educating people who are not aware of how sexism and the messages we've been given as girls from an early age impact our decision making and impact our lives. And I think we saw that play out in the election. And again, this march is not specifically about resisting Trump. It is about a variety of principles, and this is outlined also on the Women's March website, that women's rights are human rights.
This is Karen Sands. I'm from Northwest Connecticut. I am a Jewish woman, a grandmother, a wife of 40-plus years, and a feminist from the second wave. And I have been a victim of the system as a feminist mother. When Trump becomes president, my first reaction was freaked out. But I will not be silenced. I am back to speaking out, to rallying, to gathering, and to taking action and standing in solidarity, as well as writing and organizing. And that will show up as marching. I was going to go to the march in D.C., but realized at 73, it was more than my stamina could keep up with everyone. And so I decided I'd rather go to a city I knew, and so that I would be safe and could be in the march. So I'm going to march in Manhattan. What needs to happen locally? More organizing, following the Indivisible Guide, coming together as often as we possibly can. I also believe there's something else we all have to see here, and that is that the gift of this chaos and churn is that we're awakening younger women and younger people, but especially younger women, and we're reawakening women like myself who were in the second wave women's movement, now saying, wait a minute, we have to come together again, and not just for women's rights, for all human rights, obviously, but especially women have to come together, and that's why this march is so, so important. So my call to action is just that, and it's to really to bring forward one of my themes, which is we have to meet the greatness challenge today. And that greatness challenge calls each of us to stand up and to stand out and to not back down, to write, to speak, to join activist groups, and to reach across the divides to those that we missed in this election. Now I'm even being bolder. I'm just stepping out and saying, I don't care what happens. This is what I must do. This is my calling forward. And I'm asking that of other people to do the same, to hear that call and to pull from the greatness that is in each of us uniquely to come forward and to come together.
Hi, this is Valerie Young. I'm a women's rights advocate in Washington, D.C. I'm really concerned about the Trump presidency. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he ends up committing either intentionally or unintentionally some sort of impeachable offense. I think that's pretty likely. I think we're in for some pretty hard times, a lot of contention, and I think government is not going to function very well because there's going to be so much arguing and so much political posturing, and the way the system is supposed to work is not going to be honored during the next administration. Personally, I plan to stay very well informed and to be in touch often with my elected representatives, because I think as a citizen, that's really the most power we have, is to advise and inform our representatives about how we want to be represented. My specific fears are that the Trump administration is going to roll back policies having to do with work family, like paid family leave in the federal contractor labor force, like the support for paid sick days that we've seen. I'm also worried that women's health will be adversely affected by the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. I think there's going to be a lot of dissension between different racial and ethnic groups, and I just think his attitude towards women is appalling, and he doesn't see that we are an essential part of the labor force and the economy and the society, and when you have strong and effective women, the quality of life rises for everybody.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of For Women Over 40, Conversations with Sima, out of WESU in Middletown, Connecticut. Our segment today is Voices from the March.
We're walking for women. We're walking for girls. Walking for peace all over the world. We're walking for justice. We're walking for truth. We're walking for courage. We're walking to stop abuse. We're walking for mothers.
Hi, my name is Vicki Elson from Northampton, Massachusetts. I wrote the Walking for Women song and recorded it with a room full of participants in the Mother Woman Facilitator Training in Holyoke, Massachusetts in December. If the surreal current events have a silver lining, it's that we're all getting off our couches and participating in democracy a whole lot more. I think each of us needs to decide for ourselves which issues we have the strongest feelings about, and then pick one or two and figure out which organizations are doing the most effective work and how we as individuals are best able to be part of that, donating, volunteering, spreading the word. Personally, I've chosen to help with fundraising for our local Planned Parenthood clinic, and I'm volunteering with represent.us, which is a nonpartisan grassroots anti-corruption and clean elections campaign. I'm also writing songs to encourage people toward action, not despair. And also, I'm proud to say my kids and grandkids are politically active in all sorts of ways, and that is the thing I'm happiest about.
My name is Rufi Natarajan. I am a first-generation Pakistani-American immigrant of Muslim heritage. I live in Houston, Texas, and I belong to an organization called Road Women. Road Women is River Oaks Area Democratic Women's Club. I am very excited to be part of the March on Austin, which our group, along with the National Organization of Women in Houston, is helping organize. We are taking three buses from Houston to Austin on the 21st, and I believe there'll be about 20,000 people in Austin. The call for action is, I believe that women's rights are human rights, and I'm concerned about human rights writ large. I'm also concerned about the rollback of insurance and social services for the most vulnerable members of our population. And I plan on continuing to be engaged with the community so we can give voice to the social and political issues that affect us all. I feel like we're going to work to look at the success of grassroots coalitions like the Rainbow Coalition and the Tea Party, the strategies that they used. We are going to engage by using that playbook. And the goal is going to be 2018. We want to make a difference, just like the Tea Party was able to when President Obama came to power.
My name is Kit Gruel. I'm almost 63 years old. I'm an advocate for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and I'm going to the Women's March in Washington, D.C. on January 21st, 2017. I have two granddaughters. I have lots and lots and lots of women friends of all ages, and the idea that we have someone that I would describe as a sexual predator going into the White House just means that every single one of us needs to get up off our seats and go and protest. And we were making some really good progress. Joe Biden and Barack Obama were crystal clear about the issue of violence against women. But now we're doing a 180. And so I think we have to be kind of all hands on deck and be mindful of what direction this country might go in. And so one of the things that I think we're going to especially need to focus on now is this notion of male supremacy. And, you know, I wrote a letter today to Richard Burr, who's one of our senators here in North Carolina, asking him why he made no comment when the bus tape came out with Trump saying the stuff that he did about grabbing women by the crotch. Trump wants Sessions to be the attorney general. Jeff Sessions made a comment after the Trump tape came out saying he wasn't completely sure that what Trump was bragging about rose to the level of criminal conduct. So I went to the Alabama law directory and looked up what their definition of sexual assault is. Their definition of sexual assault matches exactly what Donald Trump bragged about doing. And Jeff Sessions says that he's not sure that what Donald Trump did rose to the level of criminal conduct.
My name is Elaine Taylor Klaus, and I'm an educator and advocate for parents and families. And I am concerned about what's going to happen in the next few years in terms of dignity, civility, respect. I'm marching with my mother and with my girls, my daughters, my young adult women in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Atlanta March for Social Justice and Women. And we're marching together three generations to stand for dignity and respect for all people, women, children, families, men, everyone. The reason we're staying in Atlanta to march is because I think it's really important in the next few years for people to get engaged and involved on a local level in whatever issues are important to them and whatever community is important to them, to really reconnect to the community and to creating action and progressive change wherever they are. I am marching to stand for what we believe in and to encourage others to stand for what they believe in and to stand for the right for everyone to be who they are and to live the life they want to live. I think it is called upon all of us to move forward to hold that standard for respectful communication, for honest communication, regardless of what comes across the media waves and what comes across from other avenues. It is time to regain a connection to respect and truthful and honest negotiation and collaboration.
My name's Tamara Geilinger. I am a journeyman carpenter with the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters, Local 839. I'm also on the board of Sisters in the Building Trades. The reason why I'm marching here in Chicago, because I can't get off work. I just finally got back to work as a journeyman carpenter. So I can't be on the bus with Chicago Women in the Trades. They've got a bus, probably around 30 women, tradeswomen, staff and whatnot, headed out to Washington, D.C. to march in Washington. What really energizes me is a lot of the women that are on the bus are young. They are the apprentices, and they are the upcoming journeywomen in the Chicagoland area that are going to help form what is coming down the pipe. And I'm a little choked up because it's awesome. With all of the energy that's online with the Women's March, I stepped up and told Melina Harris, who's the president of Sisters in the Building Trades out of Pacific Northwest, that I would definitely come and stand up for the sisters and get this thing going here in Chicago. My call to action is I don't want to see the building trades go away. I know that when I was unemployed and not working, we almost lost our home, the bank. So what we're trying to do is energize other women, get them educated, and get us out there so that we can make some noise and bring everybody together. Our call to action is get out, get involved, not only here in your own state, but also in Washington, where a lot of these laws that are in place now are going to be challenged, like marriage equality, right to work laws, My wife and I were really close to being put out on the street because we almost lost our home to foreclosure because of the banks and all of that. I don't want to see that happen again.
I'm Jillian Gilchrist. I'm from Connecticut, and I advocate on behalf of women and children working on policies to prevent violence against women. And when Trump was elected president, I was pretty shocked. I didn't think that our country would elect someone who spoke so openly about violating women's rights, in particular touching their bodies inappropriately. As the mother of two young children, I teach my children that folks shouldn't touch them where they don't want to be touched. And so to have someone win the highest seat of office in our country who openly jokes about doing such a thing was pretty shocking and just showed me we have a very long way to go in this country until we obtain gender equity. What it means to me locally is that I need to work harder. I need to continue the fight and engage more people in the work to prevent violence against women. Having conversations that aren't easy but are necessary is key, and not being afraid to have those conversations. That's what this means to me. Not stepping down when folks make you feel like you're on repeat and you just are constantly talking about the same thing. It's important that we do challenge statements like the ones made by the president-elect that boys will be boys and, you know, these are just things that happen. They're not. We need to challenge violence against women at every turn. And so it just makes me, like I said, want to work harder, want to engage more people in these fights. I think what's been really exciting since the election is that more people than ever are engaged, and through that outrage or that shock over the election, they want to be involved and they want to do more. And so for me, social media has just been such a positive outlet to connect with folks who before I might have connected with over children, over the fact that we have children or that we went to high school together or college together, and now I'm connecting over politics and how we're going to create meaningful social activism. And so that's really been quite the positive.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to a variety of people from all over the country whose passion, purpose, and intent are expected to merge on January 21st, 2017, during the dozens of women's marches being planned all over our country. Production assistance came from Mary Lou Cook of WESU Middletown, Connecticut. Additional segments provided by Pacifica Network director Greta Anderson. The music you heard is Walking for Women, written by Vicki Elson and sung by the Mother Women Facilitator Group in Holyoke, Mass. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rodenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Sima Shapiro from WESU in Middletown, Connecticut. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.